Hey guys, welcome back to Pods and Rec, our lovely little podcast here. This is episode 6. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tam Clark.
I'm Stephanie Garza-Silvas.
I almost said my name was Stephanie.
I know. Maybe we'll just switch it one day and you can say my name is Stephanie and I'll be like, my name is Tammy Clark.
It's single white female up in here. I just want to be you.
Aww, okay. I don't know how to take that.
Well, thanks for joining us again. This podcast, we are talking about episode 5 and 6 of season 2 of Parks and Rec. But first, how was your week, Steph?
It was great. We had Christmas.
Happy holidays.
I know. This is our special holiday edition of Pods and Rec. Yay. We're getting like super down low in this.
Yes.
Hope everybody's having a sexy holiday.
Oh, God. You're so politically correct when you get sexy.
I guess. I just go straight towards it. I'm just like, yeah.
Merry Kwanzaa.
Yeah. So, yeah. We had Christmas. We had it here. It was a lot of fun, very chaotic. And then everybody left by 6, and we're just like, what do we do now?
Oh, that's nice.
So we made the mistake of, we were like, okay, so it's 6 o'clock. We can either hang at the house, which we're most likely going to fall asleep, or we can go see a movie, because that's the only thing that's open. And seeing a movie on Christmas Day is the worst idea in the entire world.
What did you see?
We went to go see Sisters.
Oh, how was it?
It was really, really, really great. I loved it. I thought it was really funny. I love Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, and it was basically like an SNL reunion.
Oh,
like there was
awesome.
A ton of SNL people, but the worst part about it is that we got there like 15 minutes early, and even though we got there early enough to find a seat, we ended up in the second row. It was packed.
What?
And we walked in, and Brad's like, I don't really feel like, you know, trying to find a seat in the back, so I was like, okay, we'll just be the first one to take up the second row, which, I mean, it's not terrible. It's not like we're going to go see... It's not like we were seeing Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings or something like that where you, like, want to see all this detail. We're seeing a party movie. And everything was fine. There was, like, people that filled in completely. And the movie started. And then probably about 5 minutes in, these people showed up. It was, like, this young couple with their, like, 5-year-old daughter.
What? Is that movie?
Completely inappropriate for that movie. It was so raunchy. So incredibly inappropriate. And on top of that... of it being uncomfortable that they had this, like, young girl, their young daughter with them.
Right.
This was the most obnoxious theater, like, man in a theater I've ever met in my entire life. Like, to the point where I was pissed by the end of the movie.
The father of the baby
was
terrible? What
did
he do?
He just was, like, talking full volume the entire time. And they came in this huge crowd of people, but they, like, the three of them kept moving further and further back, and eventually they got to us. Which we were in the second row.
Yeah.
But they kept, like, scooting away and getting away. And then there weren't even 3 seats next to me. There was only 2. So he had his daughter on his lap, and he was sitting next to me.
Oh, my God.
And he would talk full volume. Like, he had popcorn when they first came in, and he was like, Rodney, 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 you want popcorn? Okay, take it. And they're just like,
oh my gosh.
And then he would yell out... multiple times, because I mean, this is supposed to be slapstick stupid, right?
Right?
He'd be like, oh my God, you're so stupid, full volume, yelling out. I was like, this is ruining everything.
So, and he had his Jersey Shore sitting next to
him. Oh my God, yes. And he was just having full conversations with a woman that he was with. And then, so 3/4 of the way through the movie, I was just like, oh God, he's finally quiet. Found out he started snoring and he fell asleep. And so I'm just like, oh God, this fucking guy. And then his arm fell, and his daughter's already leaning on me the whole time.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just like, this is the worst thing I've ever been through. And his arm fell and is, like, on my leg, and I'm scooting away, like, nudging him, like, wake the fuck up and get your arm off my leg. And it just started moving to the point where I looked over, and I'm one of those people that I was more mad at myself for not being, like, wake the fuck up and move.
Uh-huh.
I just, like, got, like, built in, you know, just, like, angry and angry. about it, and so I started, like, I looked over and, like, eyes wide glaring at the girl he was with, and she was just like, oh, sorry, and she's, like, full-on punching his chest, trying to wake him up.
Oh, my gosh.
It was the worst, and she had to keep punching him, so as soon as the movie ended, and they have, like, this nice little funny blooper thing at the very end, and the people next to Brad moved, and I got up and moved. And, like, sat next to him, and Brad was just like, I'm so sorry. And he felt so bad because he didn't know that his hand was on my leg and everything.
Yeah.
And he was like, I would have totally killed this guy. And I was like, I just, he looked, the guy looked like if we started a confrontation with him, it would have been the worst. So I was like, I was like almost in tears, so angry by the time we left. But then I was just like, okay, the movie was great. It was really funny. And we're never going to ever go see a movie on Christmas Day ever again.
Yeah. But, I think that's like the busiest day of the year. Mm-hmm. That and probably.
I've never done it before.
Black Friday, I think, was always super busy for us, too. Yeah. Because people will go shopping during the day and take their shit home and then come and see a movie. So it's slow in the morning, but terrible at night. So this is your friendly PSA reminder of don't be a total douche-face nozzle in movie theaters. Don't talk really loud. Don't ask your buddy if they want the popcorn really loud. Don't put your daughter on your lap. Also, don't bring your daughter to a rated R movie.
That is so sexual and raunchy.
And keep your shit in your same chair.
Oh, my God. It was terrible. But
it was awful. I'm very sorry that happened to you.
I know. I made it probably sound like so much worse, but I also hadn't told you that story yet. So this is completely, like, honest reaction from Tammy.
I love it.
But, yeah, we did that. But it also redeemed, like, Brad and I went to go see the next day Star Wars again, the second time with his parents, which I'll just tell you a quick little funny story about that. It's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene in the very beginning where Kylo Ren, that everybody should know who he is by now.
Uh-huh.
And another character that was in the very like first five minutes. And we asked, Brad's dad really wanted to go see it pretty bad. And we were trying to catch him up on everything. Like, so you remember what happened last? And he was just like, yeah, I got it. And so in the movie, and his mom came too, who's never seen any Star Wars ever. And so the first 5 minutes comes up, and Kylo Ren comes up, and he's talking to another character who's in, you know, this brown, like, big old, like, cloak, you know, type. Like, you know? And he leans over, Jerry leans over to Brad's mom, and he's just like, oh, so that's Obi-Wan Kenobi, and that's Darth Vader. And I just couldn't stop laughing, and Brad's just like, oh, Dad, just watch the movie.
Oh, God.
And so at the end of the movie, they're like, we really liked it. We had no idea what's going on. And we're like, yeah, because of you. You should watch it, so.
I think Tyler would have shriveled up and died right there at that comment. Bye, Tyler.
Well, he definitely owned up to making that comment, because he was just like, maybe I don't remember as much as I thought. And plus, whenever he was talking to his mom about it, he was just like, his dad kept saying, well, the most important person you need to know is Darth Vader. And I was like, well, kind of no. I mean, I guess you need to be aware of who he is, but he's not going to be a character in this movie. But anyway, so that was a lot of fun. It was nice seeing that again.
Mm-hmm. I know. I've only seen it once.
I'll go see it with you a third time, because I really want to go see it one more time. Even though I will tell you, there wasn't a lot of, like, additional observation that I've noticed, like, you know, from seeing it a second time. Well, but I was just still like, oh, it's great.
I think, like, I can see how there wouldn't be any additional observation, because you're so enthralled the first time you watch it. You literally catch everything. So there's nothing left to get.
I think there was more dialogue that I paid more attention to this time. But there wasn't, like, little things like, oh my God, did you notice this? Oh my God, did you notice this is in the background and the stormtrooper is doing this? No, there wasn't really any of that. Other than the fact that I noticed more of, like, every time stormtroopers run, they're just, like, robot, like, little, like, little baby steps. They're just like, we have to go find this out. It's
like, we can totally outrun them.
So you just realize those suits are not, you know, you can't do much in those suits. How was your week?
My week was really good. Tyler and I had a marathon Christmas. I think we had 4 days in a row of separate places that we had to go. Classic Clark Kelly Christmas. But on Christmas Day, Tyler ended up having to work, which was kind of sad because we were under the impression that he wasn't working. Long story short, he did have to work from 7 to 3. So I told my mom and her husband, I was like, you know, don't come over until like 1 or 2. He might be getting off early. That way, you know, if you guys want to come over earlier, you can, but don't feel pressured until 1. So they really didn't come over until 1:30 or 2. So it was kind of weird because I woke up on Christmas alone because Tyler was already gone to work, you know, like,
of course, he had to work.
Yeah. He had to work 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. And
I didn't know.
Yeah, and so I woke up on Christmas, and he had already left. Of course, he, like, kisses me goodbye in the morning, but I'm a zombie at 7 a.m. I'm like,
I'm tired.
Terrible. So I wake up, and I'm just sitting on my couch, and I'm looking at my two cats, and I'm drinking a mimosa. It's like 8:30 in the morning. I'm like, it was kind of a lonely Christmas. And I started feeling, like, really bad. But then I was like, I'm super awesome. I have two cats and a mimosa, and I don't have to be working, so that's a luxury. And it's just kind of nice to have some time to myself, because where I work, it's insane in December. So it turned from being, like, a sad, lonely, loner Christmas to a happy one. I'm just not used to being alone on Christmas, because we have a tradition of going to my mom's in the morning and doing mimosas, and we always make the same breakfast foods and stuff, and everyone's always together. And this year, it was just kind of different, so it was kind of sad to go through something different. But I'm okay. I lived through it.
Well, I'm sorry you had a quiet Christmas. This was our first Christmas that we were not at my parents' house in the morning, too, so it was a little different.
Yeah.
But it was so good.
Yeah, so good. I always like Christmas.
So, do you want to open your present?
Oh my gosh, you guys, I love presents.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to describe it very intensely. It's a rectangle with some fox wrapping paper and a little tag on it that says, Merry Christmas! To Tammy Hart from Stephanie and Brad. Oh, Brad got it for me, too.
He was...
How's that sound?
Oh my god, it's a box.
Oh my god, you got me a white box. That's amazing. Okay, do you put a ton of tape on it like my mom does?
No. I have writing jokes in the white boxes. I don't know why I didn't do it for you.
Some gold tissue paper.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, what is this? Oh, this is amazing. It's a blue t-shirt that says, Nope, Swanson, 16. I hope that's not a spoiler.
Ooh.
This is amazing. I'm putting it on right now.
I hope you like it. I thought it was very appropriate for the coming year.
Appropriate.
And plus, we all deserve some Parks and Recreation t-shirts. So I'm going to have to get myself a Parks and Rec one. I actually picked one out for myself, but I was like, nope, got to buy Tammy's first.
Well, you know what? Don't buy a shirt for you. Pick out the one that you want, and I will buy it for you as your Christmas gift, since half of your Christmas gift you already purchased for yourself.
That was just a happy accident. So, Tammy got me these really awesome white fox salt and pepper shakers, because she knows how much I like foxes, as you can tell with the wrapping paper.
Yeah.
And we were watching the episode, and she looked over and was just like, ah, crap, because I ended up buying them for people coming over for dinner. But I'm going to unwrap what Tammy got me.
Okay, unwrapping the first gift of something that she doesn't already own.
Okay, ready? It's a gold wine stopper with an S on top.
Yes.
Is it for Silvis or Stephanie?
That's what I was thinking it could be for either, but I was thinking mostly Stephanie because it's good for you. Brad.
Thank you so much. I love that. We really need a wine stopper, actually. So that's like the perfect gift for us. We actually had from our wedding this giant S. And I felt, everybody kept saying to me, they're like, where's the giant ass? everybody kept saying to me, where's the giant B for Brad? And I was like, no, it's for Silvis. So now I'm afraid to hang it up, like, in our bedroom or anything like that, because it's really nice. I'm afraid to hang it up, and people just being like, why are you so conceited? You have this giant S.
B and an S and then SBS.
I know, we have really unfortunate initials.
What are your initials now? SGS?
No, just Brad and Stephanie together is bullshit.
Or if you go SBS, such bullshit. So much bullshit.
Oh, my.
But your relationship is not bullshit.
Aw, thank you.
You're welcome.
So should we talk about maybe something that we watched today, I guess?
God, what was it? I can't even remember. Oh, my God, it was Parks and Rec!
Woo! So, today we watched episode 5 of Parks and Rec. It's Sister City. It aired October 15th, 2009. The synopsis is, Leslie hosts the Parks and Recreation Department of Baracoa, Venezuela. Pawnee's Sister City. Tom becomes an errand boy. April plays hard to get. So... this episode, it's never been my favorite, and I've actually been dreading getting to this one.
Have you really?
Yeah. The best part of this episode is Fred Armisen, which he plays his character very well, but basically all I see is Portlandia whenever he does his accents and stuff, you know?
I agree that he plays his character well. but only because I have read in real life over time that he's actually like kind of a huge douchebag in real life.
Is he really?
Yeah, I've heard that, and it made me sad because I think he's really talented and funny. But then, like, I've gone back and watched some of his skits in SNL and different characters he plays, and I'm like, man, he always plays being a douche really well. I guess that's because it translates into real life.
I hope that's not true.
I know. I kind of want to read, like, I don't know. I'm reading Yes, Please by Amy Poehler, and sitting here on your bookshelf, so you have to read it, too. I'm kind of waiting. Hopefully, Amy Poehler makes a mention of it. Do you, Amy? I'm almost done with your book. I don't know, because everything I've heard has just been, like, complete speculation, but it has been multiple sources over multiple years. So that leads me to believe it might be true.
Aww, that's super depressing.
Yeah.
My brother actually, my brother is a musician. He's in a really great band.
Go ahead. What's the word? Promote it?
Yeah, I guess.
Promote it.
My brother's band is called Roadkill Ghost Choir. They're really great. They've toured across our country multiple times. Across our country, because if we're not shameful of the United States.
Great country.
That's where I was going with that. Anyway. So that he said that one time whenever he was in Portland, that he actually saw him on the street. And I was like, oh, how magical. I was like, you actually saw him. I was like, did you say anything? And he's like, no, I got too embarrassed. Because Steven's a lot like me, where we're just kind of like super anxiety, you know, like anxious all the time. And just kind of like curl up in these little balls. Just like, oh, God. There's someone's on there. I can't do it. But I just thought that was really cool. It's like, out of all the people for you to see in the street, you actually saw them. So I think they were, like, recording at the time.
Awesome.
I didn't know if they actually record in Portland or if it's one of those that it's like, this show was actually, you know, supposed to be Connecticut, but we were really, filming
downtown
in
LA.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. That's really cool, though, that he met him. Well.
Well, he passed
him. He passerby'd him.
That's one of the best things that Steven always tells me is, you know, who he sees in the streets or, you know, whenever he's in all these really cool places like New York.
He's just so cool.
Ugh. Steven.
You could be on our podcast if you want to.
Long pause.
Maybe it'll bring some, like, super popular people to listen to it.
Because you're so cool. You're too cool for us.
So this episode, the mayor of Venezuela, a.k.a. Fred Armisen. Or no, he's not the mayor. They're the Parks Department of Venezuela, right?
Yeah, I don't think they really say exactly what he is. Or maybe I was just annoyed and didn't really pay attention that much. But
<That's about> right.
He's just some type of representative. But I was actually questioning why they were visiting there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you really get an impression of why that was happening? Was it just, like, a funny anecdote or something for the episode?
Well, we do learn at the end of the episode the point of a visitation to American cities. Like, he said his another group of Venezuelan ambassadors or whatever is in Miami hanging out, having a much better time, mind you, than they are in Pawnee. But then we find out at the end it's because Hugo Chavez wants to shame America.
That's what it was.
He's got his... So Hugo Chavez has a campaign going to shame Americans and across the world, I guess. And so that ends up being why they're there. Another example of douchiness.
Yeah. Yeah. That was just... This is such a bummer episode.
Yeah.
It's such a bummer episode. And the next one is so good.
It's
so funny from start to finish. But this one is just such a bummer. There are a couple of really funny moments, like Tom running around as an errand boy.
Yeah.
Or their servant.
I wonder how much money he ended up making. But didn't he did he mail it back?
He put it in the donation.
Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, see, I saw him put it in an envelope, but I missed him put it in. Oh, that's so sweet, the donation for their park.
Yeah, because she, you know, said, screw Venezuela, or screw Chavez, Viva America.
Viva America.
And, you know, she destroyed his check for $35,000, which I don't...
It was totally dirty money, though.
Yeah.
Because there was the whole thing with the pens, where, like, Leslie, they're having, like, their little tiff, Leslie and Fred Armisen's character, and she's like, those are our pins, those are ours, and gets them back from him. But then the following day, when they have their, like, little makeup session, and he gives her a check for $35,000, he's like, these are nice pins, and he takes them, and Leslie kind of just, like, lets them. So you can kind of tell it's dirty money, like, here, we've got one over on you, because we've given you this money, now, like... we own you.
What do you think is their obsession with the taking of pens?
I don't know. Just to show that they take what they want, maybe? And but, they're used to getting anything that they want. But pens seems like a...
Yeah, because the whole time they're just talking about, I get everything I want. Every time she was talking about, do you have TBS? And he was just like, yes, I have like 5 satellite dishes at my house. I get everything I want. Yeah. It's just, it's such a bummer episode. I don't really like a lot of poking fun, mm-hmm. you know, at Americans or poking fun at like an entire country, you know, on its own.
I agree. We should not give it the time of day.
Yeah. Because I've never been to Venezuela, but when I was in Ireland, everybody was friendly and nice and everything, and it wasn't just, I was so concerned, just, you know, never been abroad before, mm-hmm. of how people view Americans.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be that ignorant American of just being like, ugh, you want ketchup on your burger? You're crazy. I mean, I never got a burger while I was there, but that's just a crazy explanation, but, I don't know. I want peace and love for everybody.
Peace and love. Mm-hmm. We had no Andy in this episode.
That is what I realized after watching the next episode of what this one was lacking. Mm-hmm. So there was no Andy whatsoever, and there's not enough Ron.
Right, yeah, because Ron kind of stays out of it, too. He's mm-hmm. not interested in anything about Venezuela or, like, what they're here for or anything. Mm-hmm. So no Ron and no Andy makes for a sad episode.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talks of Hillary Clinton.
Yes, there is.
Her being the punching bag.
And then the one time she's like, yesterday I was Hillary, today I'm Bill. When she decides to be all like straightforward and stuff. Makes me laugh.
I don't think Hillary's the punching bag.
No. I think she was probably viewed as one back in the heyday of Bill's escándalo. Mm-hmm. That was my Spanish. But, no, definitely not anymore.
On the upside of this episode, you got to see a lot of Donna just being Donna, all fabulous, and she has a really great quote.
I am not surprised at all. I've been to South America. I did very well there.
She's just embracing her sexuality.
I just love, not to jump back to the end again, but I just really love how at the very end she ends up, you know, with April...
In Venezuela
with, his name was Johnny. I didn't catch that until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the intern, right?
Yes. It was hilarious. I half expected to see people like fanning her with giant palms. I don't know if that's racist of me, but whenever I see like people.
I mean, they kind of like talked about them as if they were royalty. So I guess that would be like a sign of royalty, just like feeding her grapes and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like this is a really nice time to kind of pause it and talk about our sponsors.
Sweetums. If you can't beat them, Sweetums.
That was a really great moment.
If you ever want to pick up a tub of giant corn syrup, just head to Palm Beach.
High fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to see where you fatten the children.
Just head to Palm Beach. Head over to Sweetums. If you can't beat them, Sweetums.
All right, we can get back into it.
There is a mention of when... You know, Leslie's like, oh, man, they didn't have fun here. Let's take them to a park. And April's like, yeah, a park will totally be great. And then Leslie quickly escalates into, okay, let's take them to London. But then she says, no, the money's different there. They'll totally realize that we're not in America anymore. But it's like, yeah, that's totally the reason that they're going to realize that they're in London is the money.
I always love those internal... little battles that she has with herself. Mm-hmm. We should do this. No, no, this. No, 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 this. Because it happens so often with Leslie.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
One of the quotes that I really liked was whenever Raul says, oil is food for cars. I mean, he's trying to, like, elaborate because he's like, oh, my English wasn't good. Let me elaborate. Oil is food for cars.
Which is funny, but it's just, God, it's awful. Just how sarcastic he turns into another...
It's just...
sadness.
I really don't want to give this episode too much just because it doesn't... It's not a good episode to me.
I do have to say, though, at the very end, we can head to the end. Leslie did make me tear up a little bit with her passion at the end. She was talking to the camera and about how much she loves America and, like, what she does every day to kind of, like, fuel the love and patronage for America. And not that I'm, like, super patriotic and that's the reason that I was... tearing up, but it just made me happy to see Leslie. I was really proud of her for overcoming and keeping calm when they were such dicks. And, you know, at the end of the day, she stood for what she believed in.
Yeah. I think that's a really great segue into going straight into who our MVP of this episode is.
Ooh, who's it gonna be?
I think it's a no-brainer. I think it has to be Leslie.
Could it be a nope-brainer? Yes, I agree.
I think there was there was a small part of me that said, oh, maybe Tom. But Tom's just, like, so blah the entire episode of him, like, running and doing everything for these stupid-ass men. But he does redeem himself in the very end.
He does.
But
I
think Leslie put up with a lot of shit this episode.
Oh, totally. She totally deserves it. Mm-hmm. Not that she doesn't deserve it every single time, because she's Leslie now.
Yeah, she totally deserves it every time.
You really killed it this episode, Leslie. Mm-hmm. You're amazing.
So how would you rate this episode?
I am going to go with a 2.4 out of 5 punching bags. And that's a callback to Hillary Clinton being called a punching bag. But I couldn't give it anything more than that, because even though, you know, we learned more about Donna and a little bit about Jerry, and Tom did a great thing at the end, and Leslie was awesome. I wasn't into it.
Yeah. I gave this one, actually, when I first wrote it down, I gave it a 2.5, but actually downgraded the more that we were talking about it.
Whoa.
Because I kept reminiscing about how much I didn't really like this episode. So I downgraded it to a 2 out of 5 bag of rubber nipples.
Tastes like the real thing.
Tastes like the real thing. And I had to change because of, I wrote Hillary Clinton. So I had to change mine.
You went from Hillary Clinton to a bag of buttery nipples.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a solid move.
I thought so. I feel like you can make that connection from one place to the other, you know?
Yeah, you know? Totally.
Yeah. Any last thoughts about this episode that you want to throw in?
We already mentioned that Andy wasn't in it, but however, his nemesis Lawrence was in it. He made a couple cameos in there, but no Andy. I thought that was funny. One of my favorite parts of Tom being a servant boy was holding the umbrella over Fred Armisen in the background. He looks so unhappy, but he's like, yeah, make money, so.
Or removing all of the, what did he say, whenever he was giving everybody candy bars at the forum, and he got him a crunch bar and removed all the, like, the little...
The crunch.
So it's just a chocolate bar.
It's like, weird request, but I did it for you.
So annoying. So annoying.
Final thoughts, just... nothing great, but it's still a Parks and Rec episode, so it's got my vote.
It had its moments of being funny, of adding that little bit of Parks and Rec flair, but it's such a painful episode to watch, because it's just watching them make fun of Americans the whole time, and nothing really gets resolved in the end. They're still going to be douchebags making fun of Americans and shaming them, and, you know, Leslie starts back from square one and takes a little bit of money that Tom had and... carries on. You know, it's just depressing. Watching her just wipe away the giant thermometer.
My mom's Puerto Rican. That's why I'm so lively and colorful.
So moving on to episode 6, Kaboom.
Kaboom!
This episode, it aired October 22nd, 2009.
Ooh, Halloween.
You're getting there. This synopsis is Leslie and the rest of the department help an organization build a playground. Leslie takes advice from Mark. Doesn't really give us a lot as far as what happens, but...
it definitely doesn't lead you to think that this is an amazing episode, which it is.
We seriously laughed the entire time to the point where we had to stop it and pause because we couldn't stop laughing at just the intro.
Yeah. It was such a good episode. I mean, this is like, Parks and Rec, why do you do this? You have this Sister City episode, and then, like, you blow it out of the water with this Kaboom episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. I mean, just the opening alone is hilarious. Leslie's on the phone with the credit card company, and the lady's like... I think there might have been some fraud. Let's go over your purchases. Meanwhile, Tom's listening.
Mm-hmm. So some of the items that they go over is that she $20 to Netflix, $20 to Blockbuster. She has something with Hogwarts. Like she,
yeah, she
enrolled or something.
She enrolled in Hogwarts Witchcraft of Wizardry. But she said she gets a little diploma and a wand. Which
and awesome. A wand. The look on her face is great. Jessica Simpson. Hair, it's like hair Clinton, extension.
Hair extension.
Yeah. And then the best one was a man pillow.
What does a man pillow look like?
Daniel Craig. It's for my lower back.
I'd like to let Daniel Craig work on my lower back.
You just, I don't really know where I lost it, but I just thought it was so funny.
Well, it's just, it's so her, and it's another kind of like insight into her character growing, like the silly things that she likes, and you can just imagine her at home after her day of working, just sitting on her couch being like, Daniel Craig body pillow, yes, or on a body pillow website designing what she wants it to look like.
What kind of body pillow would you get?
I think it would have to be an Adam Driver body pillow. He plays Kylo Ren in Star Wars, and
mine was one from Star Wars too.
Boyfriend and Girls.
Mine, I was totally going to say one from Star Wars, too.
What is it?
Mine is Domhnall Gleeson.
Oh, my God, yes.
He plays Hux. Oh, I love him so much.
I do.
Because have you ever seen About Time?
Oh, that movie is amazing.
I love that movie so much. And he also played Bill Weasley. I just love him.
Mm-hmm. I want to do an episode all about Time.
Yes, I could totally do a special episode about that movie because I've seen it so many times. And Brad also actually gets annoyed with me because anytime it's on TV, because HBO is showing it so many times, I would just watch it all the time. I'm like, I love him so much. Yeah. I mean, he just has this like tall, lanky body that it's not going to be a Daniel Craig body, but I'd just be like, let me put my face in your red hair.
Maybe sweet ginger.
But I also love the guy that plays Kylo Ren.
Yes.
I don't care if you're all emo.
No, I fell in love with him watching Girls. I really like how awkward and kind of raw he is. Like, Girls itself is a pretty raw TV show. And real. By raw, I mean real. I'm not trying to be, like, weirdly sexual. Like, I like it raw.
Remember, this is our sexy Christmas episode.
That's right. but I really like him as an actor. And I do have a little bit of a crush on him because I think he's cute.
He is cute.
Cute.
Did you ever see This Is Where I Leave You?
I did see that. And yeah. He's very awesome in that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, he is. That was the first thing I saw him in. All right. Continue. Parks and Rec.
As soon as she said Daniel Craig, I was thinking, 2009. And so I started looking up Daniel Craig's IMDb to see, like, if he was in anything to make that, like, a relevant choice or if it's just, like, a quirky Leslie Knope choice. And the last thing he was in was Quantum of Solace, but that was back in 2008. He didn't actually do any movies or anything in the year 2009. So I thought that was an interesting choice. It must just be, she thinks that he's sexy.
Mm-hmm. He's sexy.
They would have beautiful Aryan babies together, though.
They would. They're
both blonde-eyed, I mean, blue-eyed, blonde-haired.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Yeah.
Well, we actually have a special guest popping in. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Brad. I've never been here before. First time.
First timer.
I'm going to get you a button that says first timer.
It's my first time.
It's like when you go to Disney and you have like a birthday button or whatever, literally everyone, it's like they're told in their training. If they have a button, you have to acknowledge it. Because it's like, oh, it's your first time here. Welcome. Or, oh, happy birthday, Tammy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, they have buttons for everything. We have a happy anniversary, a happy first year of marriage button.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard that theme park employees have the highest suicide rate, too.
Oh, way to bring it back down.
This is not episode 5. We're in episode 6 right now.
Whoa.
We need to keep the morale up, sir.
I'm sorry. I missed that was my episode. It was fun.
Whoops. So we get our first cameo is Paul Scheer.
That was really exciting. I totally forgot that he plays that role.
Yep.
Which he plays beautifully.
He does. It's because he plays it exactly like another role you may know him in, Andre from The League.
Andre. Mm.
The double entendres.
He's a character.
He is. He definitely is.
Yeah, I've seen some episodes of The League. I haven't seen all of them. But I actually, even though I'm not a sports person, I actually think it's pretty funny.
It's over now.
Yeah, I know.
They have the final.
Are you and Tyler still in mourning?
Yeah, a little bit. I stopped wearing black, though. That was the first step to getting
better. Yeah, you just stopped wearing black. You just put your blue t-shirt on.
Welcome back.
So, what kind of name is Keith?
I don't know. I did the same thing you did, though. I thought it was Keith until we saw his name tag.
Yeah.
But Keith, like...
Is Keith with an F?
Yeah.
It was K-E-E-F, like Reef, but with a K.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's a Kiefer Sutherland fan.
Maybe.
And he's just call me Keith.
The Keith.
I go by Keith.
Old Keith.
I didn't even make that connection. I think my favorite moment in the very opening with the whole Kaboom project... was him running up and poking Ron. Yeah.
Don't do that.
He's like, don't do that. Aww. Yeah, that was my favorite moment. Besides, I don't know. There were so many great, great moments in this. Even Leslie saying, I don't trust anything that comes up that quickly. That's why she doesn't trust Minute Rice.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
I was kind of surprised Ron was even there. Like, that doesn't seem like a Ron thing to do.
You're right.
That's a real good point.
Maybe he was there for those hot dogs they were grilling.
Maybe. That's why Andy was there.
That's true. And we get Andy. Andy's in this episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One more reason to love it.
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe that's why we really like this episode. It's funnier and there's a lot of Andy.
There's a ton of Andy.
You see all of Andy in this. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you do. And actually, do you want to jump right into Parks and Research, or do you want to wait?
This is a little segment called Parks and Research. And we're going to talk about some research on the parks. One thing I found in my Parks and Research was that they took multiple takes. Well, let's just give a little scene background. So, towards the end of the episode, not spoiling anything, but... Andy and Leslie meet up, and Leslie is at Anne's house, opens the front door to a naked Andy.
He has flowers, so.
He does have flowers, but he's supposedly fully naked. And in my Parks and Research, I found that they took multiple takes of it, and he was wearing nude underwear that they pixelated, but the take that actually ended up in the show, Andy or Chris Pratt, went full nude to surprise Leslie or Amy Fuller, and that's the take that ended up being in the show, which I thought was pretty hilarious that she actually really did see full Chris Pratt, and I would like to see full Chris Pratt. I changed my body pillow.
Oh yeah, we had to right before you got here, we had to choose what body pillow you would want.
So did anybody actually say Daniel Craig or
no? I said Brad Silvis.
Yeah. Why are you looking like Popeye right now?
Who would your body pillow be, Brad?
It doesn't have to be a man, does it?
No, it doesn't have to be
whatever fancies you.
And it doesn't have to be your wife, because she didn't say you.
Oh.
Because you're my body pillow.
Wait, can I whisper my answer to Tammy?
Can I tell you what your answer is going to be?
Christina Hendricks.
Who is it?
Who is it?
Go ahead.
No, you say.
The suspense is killing me.
You say.
It's... I can't remember her name.
This is like the Newlyweds game or something. Like.
I'm not just doing one of those like when somebody's
Steve
like, hey.
Says.
I'm not... I'm not just doing one of those where it's like, hi, my name is Daniel. I'm like, whatever, Donnie. Or, you know, you just like, you know, you purposely say the wrong name. I can't remember her name right now, but she's the one that was from Nick and Nora.
Oh, Kat Dennings.
Kat Dennings.
Yeah.
Stupid Kat Dennings face.
That would probably be a Tyler pillow, too. He was just talking about her last night.
He loves her.
You pretty much named my number one and my number two. Like, it was originally Christina Hendricks.
One and my number two. Because we have lots of things to hang on to.
Can I have
she would
pillows?
Probably... She would actually probably be a really comfortable pillow.
Who would? Which one?
Christina Hendricks.
It's kind of like getting four pillows.
I mean, just ask him.
It's essentially like just having four of them.
Christina Hendricks, we love you. Come on the podcast.
Please come on the podcast. Oh, please do.
When we get, when we start doing Madden Rec.
Madden Rec. Yep, exactly.
We're just going to keep just changing the first word. Anyways, so who would be your man pillow?
Ooh.
Ooh.
I know.
You know that too.
I know
you,
you're you no, no, no.
This, is it Alan Robinson?
No, you should probably know who it would be too.
I might after you say
and
it.
And drum roll, please.
Oh, I totally know you're who it is. Dave Matthews.
Ooh.
That's that probably it? A second.
No. Oh, that's a second. That's number two.
Okay.
Stephanie, would you like to say?
Go ahead. Nope. You got this one.
No, I want to see what you guess. Like, what are your thoughts?
Of course.
Steve Carell?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
He
loves
Steve Carell.
Have you ever seen Dan in Real Life?
I have.
Such a good movie.
It is a good movie.
I'm just happy to say that. Love you, Steve Carell. Love that movie. It's amazing.
Please be on our podcast.
So,
can we just have Christina Hendricks, Steve Carell, and also Kat Dennings.
Totally.
Bad guys.
And Domhnall Gleeson. And
Adam Driver.
Yep.
All of them.
Yeah.
And we'll just lay with each other because we'll all be pillows.
Yay!
This sounds like a pretty good
pillow
day.
Talk.
Yeah, it does.
I would have Amy Poehler in there, too.
Yeah.
I think she'd be a good, good one to talk to.
Yeah, she'd be a listener.
I do have to say, aside from body pillows, and I didn't realize it until we started watching, I've never seen this episode before.
Really?
Yeah. I must have, like, skipped over it somehow, but this is my first time watching it.
This might be one of the first episodes that I saw. Because I didn't start in the first season. Brad already, like, shotgunned that on his own. Because he was just like, I finally did it. I finally started watching Parks and Rec. And I walk in, I'm like, oh, geez, buddy, what the hell? And...
this is back when I had a 24-hour-a-week job.
So yes.
I remember those
days. I had plenty of time to do
And
that.
I was working 40 to 60 hours a week. So...
40 to 60,
rough. They were a lovely couple during that time.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I was an Andy.
Oh, my God.
I was living in a pit.
Yep. And then he showed up naked on my doorstep. It was crazy.
Oh.
He did have flowers, though.
Toadsies.
Mm-hmm. Toadsies.
Yeah, so I loved watching everything for the first time. It was pretty great.
Yeah.
So, I feel like we need to have a naked Andy count, because we've already seen him twice in the show completely naked.
Yes.
The first time when he's sitting in his pool.
In his kiddie pool. Two broken legs.
With his stereo, and then the guy takes it and he runs down the...
Lawrence!
He backflips out of the pool.
Yeah. You actually missed Lawrence was in the previous episode.
Lawrence.
He's throwing frisbees. That was probably one of the only really good parts of that episode.
I almost think backflipping out of somewhere is better than moonwalking out of somewhere.
I agree. Do you think he did that completely naked as well? Because I feel like you get real up close and personal with yourself.
I think he's super comfortable being naked.
Yeah, but it's like, it's right in your face when you do it.
He seems like a pretty confident guy.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if he did that take, I hope that's real and that's true, that he did that take naked.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Okay, we're going on the record.
Mm-hmm. We're going on
this
the record
is
that is
truth.
Probably in Yes, Please, and
truth.
I just haven't gotten to it yet.
The main point of this episode is that they're using the Kaboom program to, or this is what they're influenced by, which is an Operation Playground, to, like, do a very quick, put in this playground, and then they're done, like, for a day.
Right.
So they get all these volunteers. Yeah, so the whole...
falls apart a day later.
That's what I was... I was actually trying to remember, because it's been a while since I've seen this episode, how it ended, and I was just like, oh, does it end with, like, somebody sitting on a slide? It just, like, breaks off. And
if
then they
somebody
have another...
did that, it would have to be Jerry.
Yeah. There's
totally
a lot of... speaking of Jerry, there's a lot of Jerry bashing.
There is a lot of Jerry bashing. We're in a meeting where Leslie's, like, high off her Kabooming. And she's like, we're going to use Kaboom to make our pit into a park. And we're going to not ask for permission and ask for forgiveness later. Mm-hmm. And Jerry really gets in the way of it.
The whole time.
And Leslie gets mad.
Leslie gets really mad. So, one of the parts which is really sad is that Jerry accidentally writes on the dry erase board with a permanent marker, and Leslie just says,
okay, forget it. Let's all pretend Jerry wasn't born.
And just that whole... Aww.
Even Eva is sad.
Yeah. Eva doesn't like that they're mean to Jerry.
I'm but really even, glad that you guys took notes on that, too, because I was totally going to mention that.
But even they get through that whole thing, and she's just like, okay, everybody, give me your best ideas. And he raises his hand, and she, like, leans over, and very sternly, it's just like, this better be a good idea. Oh. And he just sadly puts his hand back down. I was just like, oh, my gosh. It's so sad.
So the other thing that happens is Tom mentions... Leslie specifies she wants to take off her thinking caps and put on her doing caps. And Tom, it cuts to like a little segue of Tom saying that he calls doing, he has a couple doing caps in his wallet. And then he also confirms that that's what he calls condoms.
It's like one of our first little Tomisms.
It is. Mm-hmm. A doing cap. I think that's a good Tomism.
That's a good intro to like all the little cutesy names that he gives everything. Yeah. And I can't wait till we get to it. There's like one specific episode that he goes over a bunch of them of what he calls things. And I just love that. I did not remember that he did that. It's called a doing cap.
Doing cap.
It would be your nickname for a condom.
A
penis cappies.
Penis what?
Cappies. Yeah. I'm just using a cap again because of penis jackets.
Penis jacket is a good one. I would say it's a raincoat.
Ooh, I would call it a wang hat.
Wang hat?
Wang hat.
Eva, just because we're talking about condoms doesn't mean
you have to be crazy. Eva's all about abstinence.
She's
apparently
trying to tell us her Tomism, I guess. We can't understand you. We don't speak dog.
She wants to podcast.
Speak English. You know I don't speak Spanish.
Baxter.
I made a note of, why is Anne never nursing? Like, granted, we see her nurse at the end of the episode. But I was just thinking, like, the past few episodes, she never seems to be at work as a nurse. And she's always at the parks department. Just, like, during the day.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm here. What are you doing? Go nurse.
I would say it's probably got something to do, like, nurses' schedules are super crazy, right? Like, that's sometimes true. They have a week off, and then they work, like, 12-hour days. And
so when are we going to get to the episodes where there's no Anne, because she's off, like, working a million days? Because that's what I'm waiting for.
Are you referring to the moment of her, like, throwing in Andy's face that Mark is everything that he's not?
Oh, gosh, that was so sad.
It was. And I think it, just by the look on her face, that she kind of regretted the way that she did that.
Me too. Yeah.
But it still was so uncalled for, where it's like he basically lost everything because she was his world. Granted, he was taking her, taking major advantage of her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, and maybe that is the tough love that he needed to hear. But it just was, it was so painful to watch, to watch that.
With the sad puppy dog eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt bad. I wanted to say, you can come live with me.
Mm-hmm.
Poor little Andy. But why is Andy even in the hospital again with Anne waiting on him?
Well, that was one of the great moments of being inspired by Kaboom. Was Leslie decides that she's not going to wait to fill this pit, that her and Anne are just going to do it. And they actually hire, like, a backhoe and a man to go with it.
And Leslie makes that comment about prom. She's like, I wish I knew about renting a man back when I was in high school.
That made me so sad. I was like, oh, Leslie. But, so they end up asking, they're like, yeah, let's do it. And they throw dirt in the pit, and then Andy's in there. And I just love, if you look at it really carefully, the first time that they throw dirt in there, he's getting out of his little tarp, little tent thing that he has, and he's like, oh, what the hell, I'm in here. And then he gets out, and they throw another, like, round of dirt on him, and he falls, like, full starfish flat in the pit. Like, and you can just see, you just see his arm stretched, just covered in dirt, and it's, like, just for a quick second. But it's
that is so hilarious.
I'm kind of surprised nobody saw him, like, the first time, whenever they dumped dirt on him, and he got out of his tent, and then the guy just was like, I didn't see this, and dumped one more on him.
Granted, he has a huge bulldozer in front of him.
He does.
True. Seeing
true.
Is limited.
Mm-hmm. The other great comment about that scene is when they're describing that they got a backhoe, and it's like, oh, there was a girl in high school they called backhoe.
She loved back rubs.
Yes, from anyone.
Mm-hmm. That's not what I would think from somebody calling them a backhoe. Just
I
guess saying.
I could be considered a backhoe. I'll take a back rub from anyone, except maybe like someone who doesn't look clean.
Would you take a back rub from Jerry?
Ooh. I would. I like Jerry. He can be my body pillow. He looks really soft.
So now we're changing our body pillow ideas from somebody that's like really super ripped.
He's like a real life body pillow.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Other really great moments in this was the kick-ass hats.
Yes. I can't find a picture of Leslie in the ass hat. But it's hilarious.
Oh, we'll get one.
We'll get one. It reminded me. So Leslie makes hats for her and hard hats for them to wear when they pour dirt in the pit. And it says kick ass, but one says kick and one says ass. So Leslie ends up wearing a hat that says ass. And it reminded me of when Stephanie and Brad showed up to our friend's Christmas party with their Christmas sweaters that said Merry fucking Christmas. But when they unbuttoned them, one side said Me fuck Chris.
My bad. That's I did probably, not see that whenever I made those.
It was probably one of the best days of my life.
Who's Maybe we'll Chris? Post that picture. Memories. Aw, memories.
We have another great cameo in this.
Yes, we do. H. John Benjamin, also known as, God, he does so many voice acting. Bob from Bob's Burgers is probably one of my favorite ones.
Yes, Tyler's favorite, Archer.
Coach McGurk from...
Coach McGurk. Oh, my God. That's such a good one.
He's definitely
from Home Movies. Did you ever watch Home Movies?
I've never
seen Home Movies. Oh, my God. It's so funny. Oh, the first season of it. You should watch it.
I'll watch it. Mm-hmm. He's also in Wet Hot American Summer.
Yes.
And the remake of the First Day of Camp.
First Day of Camp.
Yep.
He's such a good...
He's amazing.
Didn't he have, his own real-life show? H. John Benjamin Has a Van or something like that?
Yeah, he did. I think it was just like John has a van or something like that. It was very, very short lived on Comedy Central.
Yes.
Do we know what his H stands for?
I think I saw it on Wikipedia.
Is
Harry.
Is it?
Harry John Benjamin.
Harry first name is his full name.
Harry John Benjamin.
And he plays a character named Scott Braddock.
Okay. Pretty normal last name.
Yep. Yeah, for this show, it's pretty normal.
Yeah.
And he plays the Pawnee City attorney. So the whole time, he's just high-strung and nervous. Just like, no, Leslie, you can't say that. Nope, we're getting sued. Nope, you can't say that. You can't have any emotion. Can't talk about emotion. Can't say terrible the entire time. That was a really great character. And I'm pretty certain he comes back.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
I like how Leslie was trying to dance around those words, too. She's like, I have feelings.
I have emotions.
He's just like emotions. Nodding like,
And then she starts miming. And he's like, no miming.
No miming.
Just so that she can bring Andy to the while she's at the hospital. Just so she can bring him a little balloon and pig that says, I hope you squeal better.
And it had a little broken leg.
I just thought it was kind of, like, it was really cute until it had a little button on it, and it goes like, wait, wait, and it's like a little mouth goes back and forth. It's like, ooh, no, that's creepy. But I hope you squeal better. If any of my friends are in the hospital, I'm going to bring them something of that equivalent. This is great. Oh, another one of my observations that I didn't really realize until watching this episode, whenever Andy is sitting in the hospital bed and he's talking about Anne, I all of a sudden had this realization that Anne and Andy is Raggedy Ann and Andy.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen Raggedy Ann.
Maybe. You don't know who Raggedy Ann and Andy?
I mean, I know who Raggedy Ann is and Andy, but I don't know their relationship to one another or really anything about them.
Yeah, that was like one of the childhood creepy things that we had was those little Raggedy Ann dolls, which was like this little like yarn redhead thing, and then she had a companion. I don't know if it's supposed to be her brother, a little like boyfriend or whatever it is. But I just, it all of a sudden just hit me. It's just like, Ann and Andy, Raggedy Ann and Andy. What? Yeah. Just like the Tom and Jerry.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So I was like, is this just like, I was wondering if they just, if it was a weird coincidence or if it was something.
Ann and Andy. Mm-hmm. It's gotta be. I mean, if it's gotta be like that because I kind of feel like showrunners wouldn't start unless they had like something, a meaning behind it. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'd give a couple where they didn't know where that couple would go. Yeah. They don't know if they're gonna break up or stay together. I don't think that they'd name them Ann and Andy.
Did you get that? Like a Raggedy Ann and Andy?
I mean, I can definitely see them. Yeah, doing that.
Making that reference of being ragdoll. Because that's what it, I think that's why it was called Raggedy, was ragdoll.
Yeah.
I didn't really like it. I wasn't really much of a doll person when I was a kid. I always thought dolls are creepy. And, yeah. So I never really had Barbies. And if I ever got them as gifts, they were either returned or left in the box. And stored in the back of the closet.
So hide away under blankets forever.
Yeah. I always had, like, animals and stuff. So people...
Breaking the mold.
Dolls and, like, little things that are trying to be people creep me out, but not animals and stuff, like, stuffed animals and things like that. So
what about, like, action figures?
I like, because those are basically characters. They didn't bother me.
Right.
I guess you could say that a Barbie or, like, a baby doll is a character, but they were just creepy. It's like, why do I need a baby to feed?
Right.
Or a little plastic creepy thing with its eyes wide, and then, like, the eyes, like, shut whenever they lean them down.
Oh, those are the worst.
So Cabbage Patch Dolls.
Cabbages.
Oh, those are no. Yeah.
Garbage Pail Kids.
I'd rather have my little plastic horse or something. I was more of, like, a Tina from Bob's Burgers. Which brings it on back to...
It's John Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
I made a note that Andy shares my disenthusiasm towards Mark when Anne brings up that they're still together, and he's like, oh, really? That's still happening? Yeah. I was like, yes, thank you.
Hey, another reason what makes this episode great is that Mark's barely in it.
True. Yes, very true. Mm-hmm. He's probably getting a speed bump lowered somewhere. Who cares, Mark?
Probably.
Half an inch.
Half an inch.
He did it, though. He's the one that inspires Leslie to just kind of go fill in the pit and...
That is true. Why do they make him be the person who gives her, like, the ideas that end up being great?
But the idea wasn't great because one of the main lessons in this episode is that you can't, it's not good to take shortcuts.
You're right.
And that's the whole thing, because if she tried to take a shortcut and she ended up injuring Andy.
That's true.
So at the very end, they end up having to, you know, do this little fake, you know, this is what he wants, but it's really what Leslie wants.
Yeah. I retract my statement. But.
So. They, screw Mark. Mark is still wrong.
Yeah,
Mark,
boo.
Boo Mark.
No one needs you. Speed bumps are cool.
Yeah.
I love going over those.
Mm-hmm. So in the end, we get a really amazing thing that happens. The pit gets filled.
We did it.
I was always so surprised that it happened so soon.
Yes. So, and that's another reason. I mean, I totally missed this episode. Like,
randomly the pit's filled. Like, yay, it's done. And Ron's just like, mm-hmm, all right, we did it.
So, in a way, kabooming things actually worked out in the end because Andy got hurt, but then Andy.
They found a way for it to work.
They found a way. Yeah, they did it.
A shortcut. Life finds a way. Shortcut. Whoa.
So you can't kaboom everything.
Double shortcut across the sky. Any final thoughts, guys?
Sorry, I'm in the process of being loved by a cat right now.
Some of the other things that we haven't talked about that I noticed, going back towards the very beginning, was Andy stealing food and talking about all the charities that he steals from.
Except for the suicide hotline. Yeah. They don't have a good spread.
I don't know if it's... I feel like for the Kaboom volunteering, he most definitely stole food. But the other ones, they were just mostly like AA meeting type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
He took a hot dog from a little kid.
Okay, so I retract what I'm saying because I totally forgot that. But yeah, that was a little crummy of Andy to do. Andy, don't be like that.
Yeah, that's
bro.
Classic Andy.
Yeah.
He's basically a kid himself, so you can't really hold him accountable for adult actions.
Yeah. He's kind of a freegan. Like, I don't know, he just takes anything that is free.
He is a freegan. I actually have a quote that kind of goes with that.
Well, if it's free...
That wasn't the one that I was going for. It's actually going for this other Andy one.
Anything is a toy if you play with it.
Because that kind of goes with what you're saying, that him just being a big man child.
Yeah. He's a man child slash human Mr. Peanut Butter.
Say it again. He's still a human Mr. Peanut Butter.
I said it once and I'll say it again. Mm. I really want Leslie's bookends. They're antlers. I'm going through an antler phase.
You are.
I like everything deer and antler.
Yeah, this is the second time you mentioned that.
That's all I have to say about that.
Mama Clark, get her some more antlers. Nah. Shout out to Mama Clark.
Mama Clark, where's Bob?
Can't have enough Bob.
Robert. Bob and I, by the way, just a real quick side note, we've been totally living it up on Simpsons Tapped Out. We drop naughty or nice presents in each other's town every once in a while, and we have to guess whether the other has been naughty or nice, and if we guess correctly, we get a reward.
I don't think I like you and my talking about being naughty and nice.
I know. I was like, this is weird. This is not cute to eat something. He always sends me something nice. Janice. Okay?
Okay. No, oh, no homework is here.
Nope.
No.
Done. I shouldn't have brought this up.
This was a mistake.
Mistakes were made.
Naughty.
I could tell by the look on your face as you're telling us this. You're like, oh, no, this is coming out wrong. No.
Jeez.
Oh, Gil.
Get that Gil. That's a really good Simpsons reference. Yeah. Yep. Nailed it. Crushed it.
You're welcome.
Okay, another quick little bringing it back to Parks and Rec, unless you had more.
Mm-mm. I'm done. I'm done with that. Never bringing up your family ever again.
Never. That was it. I really appreciate you not talking about my family anymore.
Don't talk about my family.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. We got another special appearance in this episode. Did you catch it?
I don't know.
It is the duct tape pillow neck brace.
Yes. Yes. It is its own character.
I love that they brought that back, and I totally did not remember that at all.
Mm-hmm. I love when Andy says something roughly like, it's in the meeting when he has his fake neck brace on, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I had to relive the two worst separate days of my life. It's just typical classic Andy, and I loved it.
Yeah. I really like that came back, and it always is after something bad happens in the pit. Because the first time was Leslie, after she fell in the pit. And she wanted to make it worse, and made this little homemade neck brace, and I just love that he was wearing it. Because it was obviously something that Leslie was convincing him to do, so that he wouldn't sue them.
Right.
But, oh my gosh, that was pretty great.
I was going to say,
how many injuries have occurred in this pit so far?
Right. We have Andy, we have Leslie, Mark, and Andy.
Yeah.
Right? Four?
Four injuries. How many more people have to fall in this pit?
None, because it's not a pit anymore.
Hey.
We said doing caps, and we did it.
We put our condoms on, we got the job done.
What did you have to do?
I mean, wait, crap. Was there any other stray observations? Do you have anything else in pods and research?
Pods and research. I did not.
Unless you want to go back to your next segment. Where were all the pigeons?
Yeah, I have no idea where the pigeons were. But we'll do a quick little Leslie's racist corner. Heading back to episode 5, there was a lot of racism on both Leslie and Fred Armisen's point. And that is it. And that was it for Leslie's Racist Corner.
Leslie's Racist Corner.
Never mind. That turned into an actual song.
Leslie's Racist Corner.
All right. We gotta come up with a jingle for that.
Yeah, we really do.
We do. I'll cook some now. I got plenty of sound bites. I can cook some.
If you need me to sing it, I will. Totally. We can have Steven play guitar in the background.
We should totally get, like, legitimate like little jingles. All right,
got
it.
Auto-tuned?
Done.
Auto-tuned.
That'll be for, we should do an auto-tuned. We're just spitballing here while we're on the podcast. Yeah, yeah. That should definitely be whenever we start to come up with more of the Tomisms.
Yes.
We'll do an auto-tuned one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Because there'll be so many more segments that we're going to do the more this series grows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, as a team here, who is the MVP?
I know.
I actually wrote nobody down.
I didn't either.
Unless you make Paul Scheer the MVP.
As we went through it, I thought of an MVP, and I don't know if anyone else would agree with me, but I was going to say to give it to Leslie again.
State your case.
I've done it like multiple times in a row. This would be Leslie's, I believe, third in a row. My case is that she got that pit filled. No matter what shortcuts she had to take, she realized her rights and wrongs. She wasn't racist very much in this episode. And she had great style. Her pantsuits were fantastic.
Her hair. Actually, there was the moment when she had her hair in a ponytail. I was like, damn.
It was in a ponytail. And then at the very end, it was like half up, half down. Like aside from her being mean to Jerry, I choose Leslie.
I'm actually going to stick with my previous joke answer and say that it's a real answer that Keith, played by Paul Scheer, should be the MVP because he jumps into this thing and inspires everybody to do this Operation Playground, which inspires for the whole episode, and whenever it shows him again at the very end and you think that he's just like, I'm just fucking around, you know, you think it's going to be this like total thing of him being like, you know, the park's going to fall apart anyway, but really he's just playing what he thinks is like a joke on people, but he's doing good. Like, he's off to open a hospital in a poor part of China or something like that. I just, he thinks it's like supposed to be something silly, but he actually did good. So
he gets exception on us.
Yeah. So I'm going to choose him.
Okay.
Brad, are you going to jump in here with somebody different?
I can jump in with one more person.
Ooh.
So I feel like there is one person that just kind of takes the brunt of everything in order to get the park filled in.
I know where you're going
with this. And that is
Andy Dwyer.
He's in the pit. I mean, he's the one who gets injured. He's the one who makes the choice to not sue the city, but in order to get his demands met, have them fill in the pit. So he gives up like $100,000 that he could have had, you know, to do that. So, I mean, that's a big move, Andy, and you get my vote.
Well, like, it looks like we're going to do one of our classic tiebreakers.
Oh.
Ready?
Is it time for paper, scissors, rock?
Paper, scissors, rock. Why'd you make it weird? Wait, rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay. Ready?
This makes me so nervous. All right.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Tammy won!
I win!
Instantly.
Instant win.
Fatality.
Scissors. Instant win.
Fatality.
Okay. Now you have to cut our heads off, I'm pretty sure.
Or
that was my swords.
We are dead now.
That was the last episode of Pods and Rec. No, it's just Tammy and Rick. Get it? Because you wrecked us!
Oh, man.
We got wrecked.
I wrecked it. I'm going to wreck it.
You wreck did it wreck it. Wreck it, Tammy. So I guess our MVP here is Leslie Nope.
Oh, sorry, guys. Leslie's the boss.
Nope, we can.
Boss of the boss. Boss house.
That was good, though.
I thought you were going to say bottom bitch. She's not that.
All right, so, since you won, you get to go first in rating. How would you rate this episode?
I rated it a 4.7 out of 5. I'm still saving my 5, guys. I still got it in my pocket, ready to come out. 4.7 because it was really a great episode from start to finish. Had amazing cameos, great character development. And so it's a 4.7 out of 5 Naked Andes.
That's a good one.
That's sexy Andy sausage. All right, I'm done.
That was another case that Brad could have gone, is that he actually got naked for the for the episode.
The man got naked.
Mm-hmm. He showed his pride and glory. He's
bearing his all.
Pride and joy. Brad, how would you rate the episode? Actor. He's a method actor.
So, I would give it 4 out of 5 doing caps.
Nice. Very appropriate for Naked Andy's.
Hey, I'm just rolling with the punches. I thought it was a really good episode. I mean, it's definitely funny. I think every episode that Andy just gets super naked, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
that's definitely one of my favorite things. And he just kind of prances away afterwards. So, you know, plus they get the pit filled in. So yeah. there's a huge plot point for the whole rest of the show that occurs in this episode. Mm-hmm. So, it's definitely one of the better ones.
I have so many ideas of what I want to do because there's so many things that are really funny in this. So I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to just name them all.
Okay.
So I have 4 out of 5 slugs driving a remote control car.
Okay.
Which was a random thing that Leslie said. Mm-hmm. 4 out of 5 kick-ass hats. 4 out of 5 I hope you squeal better, pigs. Or 4 out of 5 Andy's voicemail messages.
Nice. Oh, yeah, because Leslie leaves him so many voicemail messages.
Yeah.
I thought that would also be a good way to just get the rest of the little, like, stupid notes that I wrote down.
That was good.
She had one where it was like, hey, everybody, there's free guitars down at the guitar store.
That's what I was trying to think of. What's the one where she's just, like, running by?
Yep.
I also really liked whenever she's so relaxed by not playing by the rules and she goes into Ron's office and she's like, hey, what's up? Can I smoke in here? And she's just like throwing like a football in a basketball room.
Yeah, she chucks.
And he's just like, you don't smoke.
Like, you know, I was just asking.
Mm-hmm. Ron reacts pretty quickly to that football coming at him though, too.
He does. He got it.
And the other thing we didn't talk about was Ron talking to her at that same moment and saying a bunch of like things like he kept adding cut in front of everything.
Or kaboom.
Yeah.
Or kaskrewd.
We are kaskrewd.
Yeah.
So that could also be 4 out of 5 kaskrews.
Kaskrews.
Andy also actually gave up being an Indianapolis Colts linebacker in this episode.
Yeah, I'm never gonna give that to him.
But he threw, that was his thing that he gave up in his demands to kind of reason with the settlement.
Very
so.
True. Mm-hmm. He could have stuck to his guns and said, unless you make me a linebacker, I'm getting that hundy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's actually, is that the first time that you hear that he's a big Colts fan? Because that definitely is a reoccurring thing.
I can't wait for that episode.
The entire thing.
Him and Ron have multiple bonding moments over the mm-hmm. Colts.
Mm-hmm. They do.
They got their ass beat by the Jags. That's almost over.
Yeah. Ooh. I was gonna say, that makes me sad. That's the worst part of the show is that they like the Colts. Boo Colts.
Sorry.
Talking Colts. All right. Though.
Last thoughts. Go. I guess we're done.
Great episode.
My last thought is still about the Colts, and I'm sorry. It's about Andrew Luck having a lacerated kidney, which sounds really painful.
Oh, it does.
But I'm okay with it.
Okay.
My last thought is that I really hope that H. John Benjamin comes back.
Ooh, yes.
All right. So, Tim. What you watching?
Ooh, girl. That felt like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire for a minute.
Do I have to get off?
Is on the line. Boom, the lights go down. I am watching, I actually just binge watched the first season, and I'm currently on the second season of Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce. Have you heard of that show?
I have. I've seen it like advertised, but I've never seen anything of it.
They do a lot of advertisements, and if you watch Bravo a lot, you will see a lot of advertisements, and they get kind of old, and it makes you like kind of turned off to wanting to watch it. But what
is what's her name in it?
Who's what's her name?
Oh yeah,
Donna.
Donna is in it.
Retta.
She is in the second season. She's not in the first season. Oh. We just found her in the second season, the first episode.
Ooh.
Spoiler. But it's a really great show. It's Bravo's first scripted series, and Tyler and I always make jokes like Bravo has to say, you know, like this is a scripted series because the rest of their stuff is Real Housewives, and it's probably scripted, but we'd like to think that it's reality.
Yeah.
Or at least I do, because I love Bravo.
Reality.
The Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce is actually really great. It is kind of a hardcore look at a relationship, and Stephanie, I don't know, you may have some different thoughts, Stephanie and Brad, because you guys are married and I'm not, but it really kind of takes a look at a married couple and the issues that they go through, and does it really mean that you need to get divorced, or are you just like working through issues that everyone kind of goes through? And it's set in LA, so it's kind of, it's really bougie. Like, when I'm watching it, I do go like, oh, you just dropped your kids off at school and you have time to have coffee, because all you have to do is just go home and like write a column. You know, like, they have very easy lives, and so their problems seem kind of like,
ooh,
not problems.
Yeah.
But it's an overall good show. Mm-hmm. I would give it a thumbs up, and I finished the first season pretty quickly, even though there's like 16 episodes of it. So
that's awesome.
Yay.
That's good. So mine is actually a bit of a throwback, but it's just for the time of year. Tomorrow is actually New Year's Eve, and every New Year's Eve they do a Twilight Zone marathon on Sci-Fi, and that is like my favorite part about New Year's, because most people that know me know that I'm not a huge New Year's person. I tend to reflect on the entire year, and I'm just, you know, like, eh, I don't know. It's kind of like a bummer that it's like, it's already over.
Mm.
But my favorite thing about New Year's is that they do like 2.5 days of Twilight Zone, just nothing but like all, it's like 156 episodes.
Wow. Because
I only like the ones from the 50s, I don't like the ones from the 80s. I watch this marathon every year, even though they have all of these seasons on Netflix, and I have all of the episodes on DVD, but it's my favorite thing in the whole world. I am a huge fan. I always have been, because I grew up watching it with my mom, and it's the thing that we always did, was
what
watch
a
it.
Nerd.
Yes.
Just kidding. You're super cute.
But I really love it, and I've always try to tell people to watch it, and I know so many people that don't watch it, and they're just, you know, really like things that are, you know, sci-fi mystery things with a twist,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like the beginning of that happening.
Yeah.
I love that it's in black and white, because they don't get to use, you know, different CGI or, you know, all these different, they have to be more creative mm-hmm. with the monsters and different twists and things that happen, and it's just, it's so well done. They didn't need a lot of these silly, stupid tricks or, you know, all these graphics that we use now. Everything is nothing but little camera tricks, and it's amazing. And I love these twists. Even though I've seen these episodes, I've seen all of the episodes multiple times, I still will sit there and watch all of them. So I highly recommend that everybody just sits down. And if you can't do it now, because obviously this is going to be done after published after New Year's, but it's all on Netflix. You should totally start it, and the first season is amazing. So,
all right.
The only thing I've really watched lately was literally earlier today, and it was 13 Ghosts. So, you know, I'm not going to say that I was trying to watch that movie or anything. It was a friend's recommendation for, shameless plug, another podcast called Straight Chilling, which, if you are bored and you like horror movies, you should just watch or listen to that. Maybe we'll share some knowledge on you. By the way, that movie was an MTV movie.
Was it?
Was it really?
Yes, it was. Oh. It has Tony Shalhoub.
Yes.
It's got Shannon Elizabeth, and then Matthew Lillard, which I haven't seen this since I was probably.
What year did it come out?
2001?
2001.
Yeah.
Yes.
I never saw it.
Oh my god, it's amazing.
It's really good. And
2001, Stephanie didn't like a lot of horror or anything slightly scary.
It's.
We've morphed you.
2015, though.
Whoa.
It is.
I find myself watching a lot of horror.
The definition of a bad horror movie that is fun to watch. Like,
right.
It's just a terrible movie, but it's really enjoyable. It's a popcorn movie. So.
Hmm.
It's a popcorn movie.
So is that your plug?
Yeah, that's my
Straight
plug.
Straight Chilling.
Like,
so once you finish up this podcast, go over to Straight Chilling.
Yeah.
And
check out me and my good friends.
Yeah.
13 Ghosts is the last movie that Matthew Lillard was relevant in.
Aww.
Or Matthew Lillard.
Hmm.
He plays like non-cool dads now. I forget what it was that I saw him in, but he was literally like playing a dad that was like a deadbeat husband and wasn't really a great dad to the kids. And I was like, oh, that's the kind of roles you have to play now. That sucks.
Every time I see Matthew Lillard, I imagine him as Stu from Scream.
Yes.
And like he will just forever be Stu to me.
Forever Stu.
Yeah.
Would that be our first, like, really jumping on this idea of binge watching things whenever we watch Scream together?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We watched all of the entire Scream series and we made a drinking game out of it. And that's what started this all.
It did, really, because we sat forever just like, well, what do we do now? Like, what do we watch? What do we turn into a drinking game? Even though we're not doing a drinking game with this, it's still just like a, we watch something, sit back and laugh and talk about it and be silly.
Wait, you're not drinking?
Yeah. Speak for yourself.
I did drink some of Brad's beer every time he was talking.
Oh, damn it. I thought this was lighter.
Well, you can, if you like what you hear, you can email us at podsandrec@gmail.com. That's podsandrec@gmail.com. Send us love, send us comments on what you think about the episodes, any segments that you're interested in us possibly doing. If you got good ideas, maybe we'll listen and do it. You can follow us all except for Brad on Instagram. I'm at Tambourine Tam with two M's, so Tambourine and Tam with two M's.
I'm at Among the Atmosphere, and we also just started a Pods and Rec Instagram account, so we'll start posting things on that as well, so you can follow us at Pods and Rec on Instagram, so that'll be some fun little insights of, you know, what we do.
Yay.
All of our fun little stuff. It'll just be me and Tammy and maybe waffles and stuff. I'll start taking pictures of pigeons every time I see them. So you'll fill that pigeon void.
Perfect. That sounds fantastic.
And you can follow me around town in real life.
Or you can listen to him. You can listen to him on Straight Chillin'.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you saying no?
He's like, nope.
I thought you were saying nope.
Nope.
No, I said, yep, yeah. Okay. Endorsement.
Yeah.
Shameless plug. Well, thank you so much, guys. We made it to 6 episodes. Woo. It's the end of the year, so happy holidays, happy new year.
Yes.
And
I'm gonna sing that weird song. And Auld Lang Syne, whatever.
Auld Lang Syne?
Yeah, that one. The, like, I'm not gonna sing it. It's my least favorite part of Sex and the City movie is when she's like alone on New Year's and then goes to meet Miranda and playing that terrible song. Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I had to learn that from my guitar lessons once when I was like 14. All right.
Well, you guys can sing us out. You want to sing the pit song?
Yeah, totally. Ready? Us together.
I fell into the pit.
We all
fell into the pit.
We all
fell into the pit. Yeah, the pit.
We fell into the pit.
Tammy fell into the pit. Yeah.